We left off last week at a problem. A major, major stira. A stira between Perek Beis and Perek Gimel of Maseches Bava Kamma. Again, our story begins in the end of Perek Aleph. Chamisha Tavrin, Chamisha Muadim, that one Mishnah Tazovin Beis is a table of contents for all of the second Perek of Bava Kamma. All the second Perek of Bava Kamma elaborates on the list of Chamisha Muadim. The last of the Muadim is Adam HaMazik. Muad li olam, the Mishnah tells us, always Muad. Ben Er, Ben Yashen, Ben Shogeg, Ben Meze, the question is, according to some, the Girsa is, Ben Ba'ones, Ben Baratzon. The question is, and the Gemara, as we saw, seems to continue to discuss over the course of Chavav and Beis, Chav Zayim and Aleph, situations of Ones. Chayev, Adam HaMazik seems to be Chayev Ba'ones. Until we get to the third parak. Until we get to the third parak, and we seem to have an assumption just to the contrary. We seem to have an assumption that if you're posheas, then you're chayef. So the way we've been operating with the nizke mamon, all of a sudden it seems like we're operating with the adam mazik also. Third parak doesn't think adam mazik is anything special. I bump into you, you bump into me, I fall, you trip over me, and so on and so forth. So you have to figure out, are you a poshea, are you not a poshea? And Nitzkel is poshea, then you're chayiv. Nitzkel is not poshea, then you're not chayiv. And who's responsible when two people collide? And whoever's responsible, so he's going to bear liability for the damage and the accident. It doesn't sound like Adam HaMazik is chayiv bonus, it sounds like Adam HaMazik is chayiv, you're poshea. That aligns with the first Amud in the sixth parak, in Parak HaKones, going back to the beginning of the year, is on the sixth parak, the Gemara says, in order to be chayiv for Nizkei Mamon, you have to have been Poshea. And that's truth, that's the first mission in the Masechta as well, more or less. Right? You're chayiv to be Shomer, and if something went awry, you violate your Shmira, and there's a damage that ensues, then you have to pay. So that we always assumed was Nizkei Mamon, right? V'lo yishmerenu, v'lo yichasenu. So by Shar, by Bar, by Nizkei Mamon, if there's Pshi in the Shmir, then you're Chayev. We thought Adam Mazik Chayev bonus. Or is he? Sounds like going Chayev, he's a Poshaya. So what is the standard? It's a major, major nafkamina, thousands, millions of nafkaminas. Where you draw the line between when is Adam Mazik Chai? When is Adam Mazik Pater? First you tell me Adam Mazik Adam Mudli Olam. We have all these cases where we're assuming you have to be a Poshea in order to be Chai. So that's the question that the Rishonim here are grappling with. That's the question the Rishonim here are grappling with. Yeah, let's take a look at it. Let's begin by looking at Rashba. The Rashba here, let's take a look at the Rashba on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Because again, we left off last time, the Gemara on Chav Zayin Amud Beis says that when the opening Mishnah in the third parak says, you're Chayiv, what's going on? Are you Chayiv? Are you Pater? Again, the Mishnah had said, on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah in the third parak. Let's take a look inside. The Mishnah said, "Maniachas hakabish is a rabim. Someone else falls and breaks it, so the guy who trips over the kad, he is potter. And if the fellow who trips over the kad gets hurt from the kad, then the baal hakad or the baal hakabis is liable for the damage to the pedestrian. The damage to the pedestrian, that sounds like bar, okay. But how about the damage to the container?" I was walking along, and I fell over, bumped into, kicked, what have you, your jar, your container, which you left in the street, I'm Pater. Gemara said, that sounds like Adam Mazik, but I'm Pater. And that was the Gemara's question, Chazayim Beis, why are you Pater? You should have been watching where you're going. How come you're Pater? Why aren't you, in other words, why aren't you, let's use categories, Adam Mazik? So Rav gave one answer, but then Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, so Shmuel said, "Oh, Bafela, that's the one that we showed him. Focus on Bafela, Shano. Oh, it was dark. You couldn't see where you're going. Right? It was dark, you couldn't see where you're going. The Rav said, the fellow, the Baal HaKad, it wasn't one Kad, it was 100 Kadim. The whole street was full of Kadim. There was no way to go. Mamash had no choice. But Shmuel said, no, it was dark. The fellow left the Kad, and then night fell, and there weren't, this is before street lights, so the streets are dark. So you tripped over his container. So you're potter. So the Rishonim say, what do you mean you're potter? You're Adamah. What type of potter? So the lights are out. So the sun set. Okay. So you're still buzzing. So you're not a horribly nasty person, you're not a horribly irresponsible person. Adamah is kai bonus. No. Or no. So that's the Gemara of Chavzayim base. So Tosis, and the Rajba says, and then there's a Tosis there, but the Rajba gives a sort of a smoother, more streamlined version of Tosis. That's why I ask you to take a look. But he's quoting Tosis. As Hikshav Tosis, am I lo parach mi seifa? Padam, 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 padam. I'm sorry. Shmuel, I was reading the wrong Diamasl. Diamasl, Shmuel Amar Ba'afela. Right? He says, the Gemara does have a discussion. First question, he says, well, the Gemara has a discussion later, more than once. But Niskal Poshea, maybe in Machlokas HaTanoim, are you considered to be, if you tripped, you at fault for tripping. You say it's a pshia, you should be more careful. It's within the bounds of normal care to make sure you don't trip. Or no, that's, it wasn't my fault. I tripped an excuse. Or is I tripped not an excuse? Is that, well, here, Baha Moda de lo Pasha, the Shiny Achashesh Mikshal Lufana. If you hold Niskal, Poshea, that's Niskal Poshea, you just tripped on nothing. You tripped on your feet. You were walking on straight ground and you fell. That's the machlokas, whether you say Niskal Poshea or Lame Poshea. Tosi says, Rashba says, but if there was something there, you tripped on something, that's definitely not a Pshia. And then Tosis says, Rashba says, okay, so it's not a Pshia. And then Tosis says as well, good, it's not a Pshia, but still, let it be onus. The previous blot. Number one, top of Chavav and Beis. And then he quotes Chavzai and Olive. Abba Rav Nafman Agar, Ruch Shein Mitzuyah, Vehizik, Chayva and Ezek. Ruch Shein Mitzuyah, Alma Kol Nezik Abba Bina Adam Chayval Onos Keretzom. And that's a nafkamina. It's a clear example of Ones. Ruch Shein Mitzuyah. An unexpectedly powerful wind blew me off the roof and I fall and smash your property, which is down below. So I have to pay for having smashed your property. Why? Because I got blown off by Ruch Shein Mitzuyah. I didn't see that one coming. So it's Ones. And yet I'm Chayim. In other words, Arkasha. That's the Rishonim's kasha. The end of the second paragraph tells us Adam Azabonis is chayiv. And here you're telling me not. So how do you deal with this? So the Rajba echoes Tosfos's teretz, Ones gamar lo ribsa Torah, afilu finizke Adam. No. Onus gamer, you never, we don't mean real onus. Total onus. Total onus, no. Adam Azab onus doesn't mean onus gamer. And he has a beautiful Yerushalmi. Adam mu'ud li'olam ben er ben yashen, our Mishnah chavavim ben aleph. Your mu'ud, even if you're sleeping. So Yerushalmi says, what are you sleeping? I was a mazik when I was sleeping. Really? I was sleeping? I had no control of what I was doing. I'm chayiv. How you talking? So if you hold. So it sounds to us like, yeah, Adam Azik, Onus Gamor. There's no way I could control it. I was sleeping. Doesn't matter. It's your fault anyway. Yeah, you have to pay anyhow. But Yerushalmi doesn't think so. Keni Masnisan, what's the case of Mishnah? Bishal Yushneim Yishenim. Two people were sleeping. And one was Mazik the other. Avo, Mahaya Echaman Yashen, Uvocha Veru Lishanet Slo. Who? Hamuad. But if Reuben is already sleeping, and then Shimon comes by and goes to sleep next to Reuben after Reuben's ready sleeping, then he is the Mu'ad. In other words, now Shimon is the Mu'ad, and therefore what? What's Yerushalmi saying? Yerushalmis are characteristically terse. Yerushalmi is saying, Reuben is not Chayiv. In other words, so what's the difference between where they're both, of course they're both, what's the case of they're both sleeping? Yeah, they're both sleeping. Ah, right, they're both going to sleep at the same time. They're roommates. And you're going to sleep, I'm going to sleep. We're camping out. Everyone gets into their sleeping bag. And I know that the guy next to the left of me and the guy to the right of me. So that's when I'm chayiv. I knew that there are people or property next to me I went to sleep. But if, so then, in other words, why? There's a little bit of pshia. I could have avoided it. Maybe I should have. If I know that I roll around, I could have slept somewhere else. But if I went to sleep and there was no one near me, and then you decide to go to sleep afterwards right next to me, or you put your glasses next to me. People who wear glasses have probably been there, right? When you didn't, you fell asleep without taking them off, or you made the mistake of leaving them, taking them off and putting them too close to your head, and you wake up and they're not quite in the same shape that they were before. So that's a problem, you mazik yourself. That's frustrating. Let's say it was someone else's glasses. Someone else decides, if I go to sleep next to someone else's glasses, oh, so then I'm a chayiv. Shalom says, that's the case of the Mishnah. Who told you to go to sleep next to the other guy's glasses? Either move yourself or move his glasses. So there is an element of pshia. But if I go to sleep, and then after I'm sleeping, someone else puts his glasses down next to me, and I roll over them and sleep, then I am pater. Says the Rashba, and says Tosfos, and there you have it. That Yerushalmi is beautiful. Now that's a gorgeous, gorgeous Yerushalmi. So clearly assuming that Onas Gomer is obviously pater. That's the clear hanacha of the Yerushalmi. Very, very, as I said before, the Rashba gives a sort of a more streamlined, easier to digest presentation of Tosis. He rightly opens with this Yerushalmi. Because Yerushalmi is subtle but very clear. Right? Once you think about Yerushalmi saying, it's pretty clear when that Yerushalmi is taken as a davar pashut, the Onas Gomer your pater. So the Rashba says, clearly, we have to put what's going on in Dav Chavav into context. Onus, yes, but how much onus? So he says, well, it depends. Right? And he has more examples. He's looking subas. The Hayu Hiniach Lanaviyam Parashu'ula. The children of a fellow passes away, the children get Yerusha. Among the Yerusha is a borrowed cow. Their father had borrowed a cow from a different farmer in the area. They didn't know it was borrowed cow. They thought it belonged to their father. Well, they weren't involved in the farm. They had their own businesses. But now the father passed away after the Shiva. They go to the father's farm and they're dividing the Yerusha. So they take the cow, they say, we'll shecht it. We're going to have a family get together for the Shloshim, so we'll shech the cow and we'll surplish it at the Shloshim. And then it turns out it was not really their cow. They told it the father's cow, and now they yarshined it. Really, it wasn't the father's cow. He had borrowed it. Maybe he had borrowed it to use for work, whatever it is. He had borrowed the cow, and now the Baal HaCow comes and says, I want my cow back. Now the cow is geshachten, and maybe ge-eaten. So to vachua v'achalua, they shechted it, they butchered it, they ate it, and then the Baal HaPara comes to claim his para. So mishalman dmei basar bezol v'lo mishalman kula. They don't really pay as mazikim. They have to pay something. That's actually a sugya earlier in our parak. I don't know if we'll have a chance to see it in depth together this year. The notion of masha nehenis. That's a misha. Take a brief peek. The Mishnah earlier on Daf Chaf. Mishnah says, what do you do in a case of, Daf Yutessam and Beis? The Mishnah is talking about Shane. So you have a Mazik, Shane is one of the Avos Nezikin, but as we know, as we learned already in the first parak, Hilchoseihen. Shane is Pater B'Shus HaRabim. So if my animal enters, trespasses into your property, and eats your food, so then I have to pay Nezek Shalom, Shane. But if you left some kale out in the street, and my pet rabbit came by and ate your kale, which is in the street, which is harabim, there's no chi of shame. However, I still have to pay. Mishnah has to pay you something. I don't have to pay Masha Hizika. I don't have to pay the full value of the kale. Let's say there was $30 worth of kale there. my rabbit ate $30 worth of kale. So if my rabbit went into your Rishos Hayach and ate your kale, I have to pay Masha Hizika, the value of the Nezek, the full $30. If my rabbit ate your kale in Rishos HaRabim, I don't have to pay the full $30. However, I have to pay Masha Nehenes. What did I benefit? I still have to pay. I otherwise would have had to give my pet rabbit lunch. Now, I wouldn't have given my pet rabbit $30 worth of kale. That's very high end. I'll give my pet rabbit a bowl of oats. I'm going to pay rabbit a little bit of iceberg lettuce. Maybe some shredded carrots. I'm getting him $3 of food. He ended up eating gourmet kale. So if it's in Rosh HaYachid, it's Mamish Chi of Shein, I have to pay whatever the Nezek was, $30. And it was just around me, I don't have to pay the Nezek. But I still have to pay Masha Nehenes. I benefited from your Hefsed, and moreover, I actually have taken, in some sense, your property. So I need to at least pay for the amount that I gained. I didn't gain $30. I gained $3. Otherwise, I would have given my rabbit $3 of rabbit food, and I saved, I economized, I didn't have to feed my rabbit lunch today because of your kale. So in a case where you're not chayiv for shein, you still have to pay mashinas. It's a beautiful sugya over the course of Daf Chaf. Not for now. The Gemara has a discussion about that. How does that work? It can be all sorts of creative cases of mashinas. Let's say I moved into your apartment. So do the fact that I saved on rent because I was squatting in your apartment, do I now have to pay you for the rent that I saved? So you have a very elegant apartment. I wouldn't have taken the elegant apartment. I would have taken the posh apartment. But still, I saved a month of rent. So I would have paid $1,500 a month. Your apartment could command $4,000 a month. Maybe I have to, do I have to pay Masha? Masha Hezika, so to speak, would be not exactly the same. Would be $4,000. Maybe I at least have to pay Masha Nehenes. I benefited from your apartment. They have to pay. I saved $1,500, even though the rental value is $4,000. That's that concept of mashananis. So that's what comes up here in this quote, excuse me, from Ksubas. Elonaris is the third paragraph of Ksubas, that the children yarshan the father. They thought they yarshan the cow. They ate the cow, thinking it was theirs. It turns out it really belongs to their father's neighbor, who had lent it to their father. So they have to pay mashananis. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had the cow. He would have served something at the meal. Maybe it wouldn't have been meat. He would have gone to the store. He would have bought chicken. He would have bought cookies, whatever. He would have served something at the meal. But it wouldn't have been steak. So the Gemara says, you don't have to pay the value of the cow, but you have to pay Masha Nehenes. Says Rashi, what do you mean you have to pay the value of the cow? Why not? You took someone else's cow. You slaughtered and ate it. Ein lecha adam amazek, gadol mizeh. You took someone's cow. You may not be a ganav, Goslin, I think, because it was Birshus, their father, but Lamaisa, you consumed someone else's cow. How is that not on Mamazik? How is that not on Mamazik? And yet the Gemara Ksuba says, you don't pay Nezik. You pay Masha Nehenes. I mean, you're putter as a Mazik, just like a case of Shane Birshus Hanizak. You're putter as a Mazik, so you pay Masha Nehenes. You're not really paying Nezik. Here too, you're not really paying Nezek. Why? But you're Adma Mazik. So he says, Gevalt, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why he's not Adma Mazik. Because those owners Gamur. How were they supposed to know? They walk into the father's estate. There are a whole bunch of cows there. There were no records. There was no tag that said they had it wasn't branded with the next door neighbor's brand. So they had no idea. So that's owners. Yes, they ate it b'kavana, but it was ba'onas in the sense that they didn't realize that there would be Mazik anyone. That's what he says. Avakav dehizikua is clearly a nezek. And he explains, as we just said before, the fact that they pay for cheaper meat than what they otherwise would have eaten, la mishum tashlume nezek. That's not nezek. That is mishamli fimasha nehenu. We just explained the sugi yutes and chaf. Masha nehenis is an alternative to nezek. Masha nehenis is what you pay when there's no chi of nezek. So clearly this is a case where there's no formal chiyuv nezek. And it goes on to quote more cases. More cases. And the niskal poshe, niskal lav poshe, which again brings us into more of the sugyas in Parak HaMinyach. Right? So the answer is, and again, ones gamor yotaka patzer. It's just, onesh, that he doesn't explain the other half of the story. That the Rashba here is focused on don't push it too far. We don't mean onus garment. If you skip down a few lines, it's al karchin. All these riots indicate you must say lo marbinin onsin gemur. We're not being marba true complete onsin. Not marba from which riboy. Not marba. What do you mean marba? What riboy is being marba? Was adding something. There is a riboy. He's saying petzatachas patzah. We had that drasha. Petzach Potza tells me I am the standard of culpability, the standard of liability, I should say, is higher for Adam than for Mamon Hamazik, but not so much higher. We're not Marvi, even Onus Gomer, no. Onus Nefila, Afilu, Beruach She'ena Matsuya, Eino Onus Gomer. And here he says, he references back to the Rashba in the previous parak as well. He says, Ruach Shein Matsuya is not an onus gamur. Now there's going back to the problem of what do you do with, he's trying to wrap back to the beginning of his question. What do you do with Petzatachas Patsa? What do you do with Nofa Ruach Shein Matsuya? He says, Petzatachas Patsa is marba, but not all onsim. It's marba, a higher level, a somewhat higher level than Mamad HaMazik. I, Ruach Shein Matsuya, the Gemara Chav Zayin of Al-Dere, end of the second parak. He says, Ruach Shein Matsuya is not an onus gamur. Ruach Shein Matsuya is not an onus gamur. What does that mean? If you look back at the Rashba, which you have as well, on Chav Zayin of an Aleph, Nafa Ruach Shein Mitzuya Chai Val HaNezek Patra Barba Dvarim Tema, says Rashba. Hey, Chai Vafil HaNezek, how can you be Chai HaNezek? Onus Gomeru the Onus Rachmana Patre. Don't you know that you're off that's a principle the Gemara has? Torah Patres you from Onsim. We saw that in the third parak. L'Nar Lo Sasa Davar. We learned from L'Nar Lo Sasa Davar. We saw that Gemara last time. L'Nar Lo Sasa Davar teaches you that when it's out of your control, you're being forced into something, so then you're not liable. Even though she's engaged in an act which had a big consensual, would have been a chi of misa, a chi of kares, and yarg vayavar. But if she was forced into it, then she bears no liability, no culpability whatsoever. Well, nara lo sasa davar, the woman's being raped, so she's not at all liable for what happened. Right? So even though she's behaviorally leaving out what's going on in her mind and heart, there's passive female passive participation in active znus is a liable crime if she consents. And yet, because she's not consenting, all of a sudden she's utterly off the hook. So you see that zebanaav, that even you're doing a ma'aseh iser, but if it's bonus, onus rachmana patre. Right, so he's applying it, notice, to Adam HaMazik as well. He's applying it to Adam HaMazik as well. So he says, so then why am I chayim the Ruach Shein Matsuya? And here he also quotes, how do you do with the Gemara HaMiniach? Niskbal Shavar as Pater. Right? The Mishnah Chav Zayim Alav, the Gemara Chav Zayim Beis, Afela Karen Zava says, honest, your Pater, the whole thrust of the opening Sugya of HaMiniach is Adam HaMazik Bones as Pater. I was going on here, so here the Rashba explains a little more. Very, very little more. Ruach Shein Matsuya ain't an onus gamur. Says it must be Ruach Shein Matsuya is not an onus gamur. He the parak hameniach mashma onus gamur. But when you use it elsewhere, that is onus gamur. Well, lakama in parak hameniach narech bayoser. Right, that's what we just saw. He does have a longer paragraph here in parak hameniach. Now, so what's going on? So presumably he means, you see the alternative. When you look in the Ramban, you see the alternative. Ramban, the Rashba was a Talmud Ramban. But here he actually disagrees with his Rebbe and accepts the position of the Baal HaTosis instead. What does his Rebbe, the Ramban, tell us? Let's begin with the last line of the Ramban. Sov Davar. Here. Not the last 2-3 lines. Nafal min agag v'ruach shein metzuya. He says, Chazal talk about Ruach Shein Matsuya. His kiru sofa owns him cool. That's the ultimate onus. Here, the Ramban adds one more line. The Ramban, in Bav Metzia. The Ruach Shein Matsuya afila ka'osa shel yo b'mashma. Because Ruach Shein Matsuya means even like the wind of Eliyahu that blows Eliyahu away. In other words, that's the Ramban's assertion, which obviously the Rashba is, and the Tosfos are debating. What do we mean by Ruach Shei Metzuyah? Rabban goes on to say, we hear Ruach Metzuyah often in different halachic contexts. Ruach Shei Metzuyah we rarely hear. So it says, presumably, Rabban assumes Ruach Shei Metzuyah means everything. Anything beyond Metzuyah. All the way till, you know, a full-blown Category 4 hurricane. That's the Rabban is stressing that. He's stressing it because other Rishonim disagree. Because his Talmud is going to quote his predecessor's Bali Atosus, who said, no. Ruach Metzuyah, if Ruach Metzuyah is 10 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, Ruach Shei Metzuyah is 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, but not 150 miles an hour. So 50 miles an hour, that's not an onus gomer. That's an onus. I didn't expect it, but I could have held on. Maybe I had some inkling that it was coming, could have gone down, but all of a sudden out of the blue, 150 mile an hour winds, there's no way you're going to stop that. It's not just difficult, it's impossible. It's not going to help hold on to the roof. The roof will, either you will be ripped off the roof, or the roof will blow off with you. Right? So again, now we're beginning to see how what's going to start to happen, we'll continue this tomorrow, is that you start to get into Gemaras where we have to say, two pshat in the Gemara. What does Ruach Shei Metzuyah mean? Ruach Shei Metzuyah mean all Ruach Shei Metzuyah, the Rabban stresses, in which case that's a riot to be chayev onus gamur. Or as the Rashba presumably is trying to say, no, Ruach Shei Metzuyah is onus sheino gamur. We were talking about 40 miles an hour, but not 150. We're going to see there are more Gemaras. Tosa is going to add to more beyond what the Rashba said to deal with the case of Tabach Uman. What do you do with the malpractice on the part of the Shochet? And then we'll circle back to see how the Ramban's response is. But we're going to see, essentially, Ramban is going to say that Adam Mazik Ba'onas Gamar is Chayiv. He's not the only Rishon. And the Ratos and the Rajba are not the only Rishon who say Onas Gamar is Pater. We're going to, our next job, and then we'll to see some more of these Rishonim, thank you so much, to see how they deal with the Rias and what categories they build. Everyone has to deal with some going to say yes, some going to say no. So you have to build some categories here. So how do you build that Tosas Shita and Ramban Shita? And then we'll try to see, once you figure out what the facts are, when you chai, when you're pater, we'll try to figure out what the lumdus is, like what's driving these two Shitas, and that will take us to the world of Shomrim and the world of Misasek, perhaps, as well. Have a marvelous day, Rabosai.